Be here with you. It's been a interesting week. Pablo, you got me? He's got me. Okay. It's been an interesting week. We had a granddaughter that graduated from UA Fort Smith yesterday. I learned a term that we hadn't learned in our family so far, cum laude. Isabel graduated not magna cum laude, not summa cum laude, but cum laude, which means she had somewhere between a 3.5 and a 3.8. Grade point. So it was good, and it was good to be with her. We hadn't been on a camping trip since we went to Florida for the conference back in January, and it was good to get away. And We got all that rain that you got, and on top of a little 18-foot camper with a tin roof, it sounds like twice what you got. But it was good. I don't know how much to personally share with you this morning, but I can tell you, preparing for this sermon has caused me to have a lot of angst this week. I started out on Monday talking to one of the leaders in the church, and As we were just talking about things going on in the world, when you begin to look at the world, you can have lots of angst, okay? But we are going to overcome the world. But I don't see it getting anything in this world but worse as the end time comes. And we are surely on a downhill slide. So I've never preached a Mother's Day sermon out of the passage that I came to in our Bible readings or in our preaching through the Bible, but I am this morning because it does two things this morning that I want to do. And by the way, if you have not decided to follow Jesus, it's way time, amen. And just as soon as you're old enough, conscious enough of knowing that you need to turn from the ways of the world and become a follower of Jesus, just as soon as you're conscious enough of knowing that you want to do that, that's when you need to do that. Because waiting and being a part in this world will not lead to really anything good. So become a follower of Jesus. So as we go through this morning, and anyway, this passage in Matthew chapter 20, the passage that in verse 24, it says, or 25, and when the 10 heard it, they were indignant of the two brothers. So you know what was going on. Salome had come and asked that James and John would have the right hand positions in the kingdom of God on each side of Christ. And so Christ said, well, I can't give that to you because it's already been determined of the Lord. That's the position that the Lord determines. And so then we come to this morning, the other 10 that were left, that their mother didn't ask them if they could have the right or left-hand position, they are indignant. They're offended that these other two brothers would want it. So it shows you that these other 10 are not guiltless, because really deep down they'd like to have those positions. And they're indignant that the other two's mother might be so forward as to ask that. So they were not guiltless in this. But verse 25 says, but Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. That's how we operate in the world, a system of power. But look at the first part of verse 26. Are y'all ready for this? It shall not be so among you. We are not to operate as children of God like the world. I got a nod, now I got a little amen. We're to operate differently in everything we do, from business to education to the home, to our individual life, to our recreation. We don't do it like the world does it. This is not our home. We are a part of another kingdom. And then we get down to verse 27, or verse 26, it says, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." So we're not to do things like the world, and we are to be servants of His kingdom and really servants of other people. What we're left here for? That we might advance His kingdom. Well, mothers, that is one of your primary roles in the marriage and in the home, is to be servants. And some really take that on and really cherish that role. Others may reluctantly do it, but we are called, mothers are called, fathers are called to be servants in the home, just as Jesus was called to be a servant. But we do it in the marriage not for a selfish purpose, but for an eternal purpose, that we might advance His kingdom. So that's where I want to go today. So I don't know if this is in your notes every time that I've got it in mind, but I want you to hear that. Are y'all here yet? I know you're here in body, and I know that some of you got up a little earlier and you got your belly full and you may be a little relaxed. We're not going to be here long. So I want you to hear this. I'm going to say it now and I'm going to say it often today. Are y'all looking at me? Followers of Jesus must not do life like the world. And if we do, we'll get the same results as the world. This is not our home. The world is not who we are anymore. We've looked at the parable of the vineyard. We looked at Jesus' third telling of His impending death. Last week we looked at the request of a mother. And today, let me say it again, followers of Jesus must not do life like the world. In other words, we're not just to fall in and do things like the world does it. And the more we do it the way Jesus would do it, are y'all ready for this? The more a testimony and a witness we'll be. Look, we'll stand out like a sore thumb. We cannot raise our families like the world and expect to get different results. Here should be our goals. Live for God's glory and enjoy Him eternally forever. That's our first goal. Live for God's glory. Number two, populate and subdue the earth. Bear children. Especially if you're going to bear children and raise them to be little arrows that you shoot out in the world. We need more of those. Raise godly offspring. Advance His kingdom through the local church. Y'all look at me. Is that not some pretty novel ideas here? We're left here to serve another king. We're left here to advance His kingdom. Y'all with me? Well, let me ask you, right up front, how are we doing? You know why? Because we're trying to do life and raise families like the world, and we're producing worldly results. Serve the King. Advance His kingdom through the marriage and the local church. Verse 24 says, "And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers." So it surely appears that the other ten have the same disease as the first two. Selfishness and pride and arrogance. Because that's what's on the inside of all of us. If not, they would not have been upset. Then look at verse 25, 6, and 7. But Jesus called them to Him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. That's how the world operates. It shall not be so among you. That's not how we operate. Out of authority and power and position. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. So, what is Jesus doing here? What's He doing in these verses? He is distinguishing, are y'all ready for this? His kingdom from the kingdoms of the world. This is not my home. This is not where I'm going to spend eternity. So, if that's the case, I shouldn't act like I'm going to spend eternity here, or I'm a part of this kingdom. Those kingdoms of the Gentiles are lords over bodies and over estates and over principalities. That's not what our kingdom is about. Jesus' kingdom has to do with the souls of men. Now, how much drastically different than that is? The kingdoms of this world, it's all about this world and the here's and now. Jesus' kingdom is all about souls and eternity. We only came through here for these years to get prepared for eternity. Or to get others prepared for eternity. So how do we act every day? We act every day as if I'm going to stay here forever. And I'm amassing whatever wealth or position or houses or homes that I'm going to live in forever. I mean, it's all wasting away. We're here for a moment and then gone. Now listen, we're here for a moment and then gone. And those that we left behind, once we're gone, we'll never again have an opportunity to impact them for the kingdom of God. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom dealing with the hearts and consciences of men for eternity. Number two. So, Jesus in these verses, He is obviously distinguishes His kingdom from the kingdom of the world. Number two, He's condemning ambition and pride in His disciples. Pride and selfishness makes us the most unfit for His kingdom work. Listen, if I get up, eat up with selfishness and pride every day, you know how much use I'm going to be to God's kingdom that day? Zero. Because it's going to be all about me. The best and quickest way to heaven is to become an humble and low-taking follower of Jesus. And this is what I believe the text is saying. So, surely we have the understanding that this kingdom is, His kingdom is not of this world. What's going to happen? This, as we know it, is going to be destroyed by fire, and He's going to set up another eternal kingdom. And only those who have decided to follow Jesus, only those followers of Jesus will occupy that kingdom. The others will occupy the place that was originally made for the devil and his demons, the angels, the fallen angels. They're going to occupy hell because they refuse to become followers of Jesus. That's how it's going to play out. Kingdom of heaven or hell. We only get prepared for the kingdom of heaven now. Now look, those who will fit in there, I'm talking about the kingdom of God, are those who take low and look for no honor here. This is not where I'm getting my rewards, other than to have the satisfaction that I might know that I'm trying to live for the Lord. You know, sometimes don't you go to bed at night and that's the only thing you can rest in? I think today I tried my best to live for the Lord because it didn't pan out too well. Things happen. You hear about things happening. Our Savior teaches us that His kingdom should be of another nature, not like the world. And the way to the highest in it is to be humble and low in our living and have a mean opinion of ourselves. Pride and selfishness disqualify many in this work. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. That's what He came to do. We are to give ourselves to the advancement of God's kingdom, not to this world. Now tell me how difficult a tightrope that is to walk. To survive in this world, to somewhat function in this world, and yet to walk in the kingdom of God. Does anybody struggle with that besides me? Or do we just give in and go all along with the world hoping that we're in the kingdom of God? Well, we know by our lives. Really, when we sit down and evaluate our lives, we know. Now, so how do we advance His kingdom? Well, we do it primarily in two ways. And the first one will be a shock to you. And I think that Brandon White, when he preached our marriage conference, kind of opened my eyes to this. We do it first through the marriage. Now, how is the marriage an evangelistic tool? Every child you have, it should be your first and primary intent to evangelize them and raise them to know the Lord. Huh? Where in the world would you start if you don't start at home? And through his local church. So I think I may have given you a statistic last week. Around 70% of Americans still identify themselves as Christians. But when George Barna asked them questions about how they live their life, only 6% of them identify by how they live their life as being Christians. All right, now look. Let me tell you about the local church as more and more of those 70%ers are identified not to be followers of Jesus. They won't be occupying the church. To go to church on Sunday mornings, to go to church on Mother's Day, to go to church on Easter Sunday, or to go to church on Christmas used to be the cultural thing to do. Huh? What percent of Howard County folk do you think are in church this morning? I wish I knew that. And I don't know if we could get the statistic down to Howard County or not. Well, Barna has got some kind of statistics in America, what percent of people are in church on Sunday morning. And it's dwindling. Why? Because it's no longer the cultural thing to do. That's not what folk do on Sunday morning anymore. Now, that's what all folk used to do in America on Sunday morning. They went to church. Can we not look around at our own church and see that attendance in church on Sunday morning, I'm glad you're here this morning, is not a high priority? We pretty much go if there's not something else to do. G. Jesus teaches that the disciple is not above his master. And if Jesus was a servant, what am I to be? So Jesus says, I want y'all to get this. Now, you that haven't yet decided to follow Jesus, you might want to think about this just a second. So he says to these guys, see what kind of kingdom I have? It's not about who's on the right and who's on the left. Huh? It's about those who are willing to be servants of other people. How many people want to sign up for that? How many want to wash feet? You with me? How many want to wash feet? How many want to do those kind of servant things? A handful? Not many want to do that. So he says, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I came to serve the necessity of men's and women's souls. He says, and we'll look at this next week or the next week, to give my life as a ransom for many. And you might want to study that this week. That's the only place in the Bible that particular word for ransom is used. So anytime that's the only place in the New Testament you find it, probably ought to look at it, shouldn't we? Okay. He was a ransom for many. Y'all know what that means? If you have trusted and believed in Him, He has fully satisfied your sin debt. Hallelujah. He has paid your sin debt. And we'll look at that down the road. So, how does this apply to mothers and Mother's Day in the marriage? That's a fair question, right? That's what we're going to look at the rest of the time. Two things that I want you to see. He says, the way the world is doing motherhood, are you mothers looking at me? Is not the way that women who are followers of Jesus will do motherhood. Because they've got a totally different focus. One is to live for God's glory, and the other is to live and have everything that the world has to offer. Mothers, Pablo and I would pray that your husbands would be servants of you and the family. But if he's not here, or that's not him, that doesn't excuse you from being a servant of the Lord and him and the children. It works really good when there's two servants living together. Y'all hear me? I mean, those days in which I want to meet all of Jeannie's needs that I can and she wants to meet all of my needs that she can, those are red letter days. Those are right up there at the top days. But that day that I'm selfish and it's all about me, or she's selfish and it's all about her, those aren't good days. And those days in which it's all about her in her eyes and all about me in my eyes, those are ugly days. Luke 9:23-24, I use this almost at every marriage I do. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Now, I don't expect you young people to understand that scripture. it's pretty simple English, but it's hard to come to grasp with. And what it really says, the bottom line is when we give our lives away to serve other people, we just then really find life. We find our satisfaction and we find real life when we become servants to other people. And it's not all about me. If it's all about me, it's just a grab, amen? That's all it is. It's just a grab. And it doesn't make any sense that if you gave yourself away as a servant, that you'd really have a life that's fulfilled. And let me just tell you, that's the truth. The more you're a servant of your wife or your husband or your children and your brothers and sisters in Christ, the more real life you'll have. So, when I do weddings, there's three things that I ask the husband and wife to make the following choices to do. And you've got them there. To get up every morning resolved to live that day for the Lord. So, I'm telling you, I'm 71, and I've been your preacher for 28 years, and I so love you and I so appreciate you that you allowed me to experience that, experience all of this with you. I'm so glad. But if I don't get up every morning resolved and probably if I don't knowingly, I don't say you've got to get up every morning and get on your knees and commit that day to the Lord and to advancing His kingdom. But if you don't get up every day with some kind of idea consciously that day you're going to live for God's glory and to advance His kingdom, okay, it's not going to happen. Because I know who still lives within me. And it's that old sinful nature. And I know every morning He's clamoring for His position that He occupied for 30 years of my life. He wants it back. So get up every morning resolved to live that day for the Lord. To do the things and to be the person that the Lord wants you to be in your marriage, in your family. But what do we do? Let's just be honest. We sleep in. We sleep the last minute we can. We get up and throw ourselves together and get out the door another day operating in the world. And we just do that. It's just over and over. I call it the rat on the wheel. That's just what we do. Look, you moms, look at me. Unless you make a conscious effort to do it different than what all the rest of the world's doing, that's exactly how you're going to do it. Number two, to get up every morning, resolve to live that day serving each other. So you get up, first of all, living for the Lord. Secondly, you get up living for each other. You know what? That's two great ways to start the day. I'm going to live for the Lord today. I'm going to live for Jeannie. I'm going to live for you guys. It's not going to all be about me. Because what I know what's on the inside of me. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, arrogance, slander, folly, pride, selfishness, unbelief. That's what I would struggle with. So, wives are to get up every morning resolved to the best they know how to take care of the wants and needs of a spouse. Well, let me just ask you, how much time do you have to do that? Number three, to be resolved to live our lives in the assembling together and serving together in a local assembly of the followers of Jesus. We're not doing too well in America with divorce and remarriage. We're not doing too well with that. Still somewhere around 50% of all marriages end in divorce. It's about the same way in the local church. Now listen to this. I can give you almost a foolproof method to keep from going through a divorce. Y'all ready? It's pretty simple. Get seriously involved in your local church together and regular in attendance, and that marriage is probably going to hang on and work out. But what's trending down all the time? Church attendance, church membership, church involvement. Did you just hear me? I told you it's almost a foolproof method to keep from going through a divorce. Both of you to get involved in being followers of Jesus and serve Him faithfully and loyally in the local church. But all of our young couples and all our middle-aged couples, how are we doing church? Mostly like the world does church, when I don't have something else to do. So for you mothers and for us today, I'm adding a fourth. And it would be that, let me say this now and often today, followers of Jesus must not do life like the world. Look, you look around at all your girlfriends, you look at all around with all your buddies, and they're loster than a goose. They're no more concerned about being followers of Jesus than a man in the moon. And if you do your life like them, you're going to get the same results that they get. You are supposed to influence them. To be resolved, number four, to serve the Lord and help advancing His kingdom by raising godly offspring. Psalms 127, I love it. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sheep. So that's just the rat race. Verse 3, behold, children are heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Is that so in America? Are children a fruit of the womb, a reward from the Lord? Have y'all, surely you know that. Did they burn the Supreme Court down last night? Did they burn it down last night? Have we burned down any of the Supreme Court justices' houses because they're probably going to overturn Roe versus Wade? 63 million innocent babies, their blood has been shed since 1973 in America. 63 million. Yet the Lord calls them what? The fruit of the womb and His, and a reward to parents. Verse 4. I like this part now. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, the children of one youth. You know what you do? You sharpen them up, you get them ready, and you shoot them out in the world. And to go out into the world, and look, not do things like the world. But if they grow up in the home, and we're doing our home life like the world, and we're doing everything else that the world's doing, how are they going to operate? I'm telling you, from that phone call I got on Monday morning to this morning, it's pretty depressing. You know, we all, if you don't have children, grandchildren, or great children, grandchildren in yet that are in trouble in the world, it's coming. And look, I look over here at Liam and Sky, that age, Jack, there's a little window there. There's a little window that we have an opportunity to pour all of Jesus into them that they can handle. A little window. And then we send them off to the world, and that wind is gone. So we better do some work in those first few years. Amen. Verse 5, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. He will have a proud heritage. Malachi 2:15. Did ye not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. Hey. I have one daughter with a degree that basically she's never in this world used. Okay, I have another daughter in this world that has a degree, and after 20 years of marriage, she's having to now support the family, and I'm glad she's got that degree. But do you know what those two moms' primary purposes are in God's eyes? To raise godly offspring. And I don't want this to be a guilt session for you mothers that haven't done it that way. But I want you to at least have to think through this with me. Are y'all with me? What are we gonna do to change this scenario? And I'll just tell you from this week and visiting with people, a little dab of change, what's that thing you put on your hair? Huh? Yeah, Brill cream, that gooey stuff you used to poke on your hair to put it like you want it. A little dab of that won't get it. There's going to have to be radical changes in our families to make a difference in the world. Raise godly offspring. May we live to raise godly offspring. May we live to make our homes an outreach center. When's the last time you had a family in your home? When's the last time you had an unchurched family in your home? You know why you don't? You're too busy. We're too busy. And when we are there, we're too tired, right? May the church and their meetings and activities be the number one priority outside your home. Did y'all hear that? You talk about a radical concept. Let me say that again. Outside your family and your home life, making your local church your number one priority. Teaching our kids and the world by our actions that we love the Lord, His people, and His church. Let me just ask you, church, is that where we're at? So what can we learn? Verse 26a says, "It shall not be so among you. We must be servants of Christ. We must be servants of our husbands. We must be servants of our families." And it means we give up selfish ambitions for the greater cause of advancing His kingdom. And when I say greater selfish ambitions, I'm talking about selfish ambitions of having, are y'all ready? All the things of this world. You can't do it like the world and not expect a worldly result. You can't let the world raise our children and not expect a worldly result. You send your kids to Caesar? Who's teaching your kids? Caesar, what are you going to get back? You're going to get back the world. Did I give you this statistic last week? You'll hear it lots. Kindergarten, we're not even talking about preschool. Have we gone to 18 months yet? It's coming, okay? Kindergarten through the 12th grade, 16,000 hours. Now, if we had more Ideas and more Jimmies and more people like that, I might say 16,000 hours of instruction. Are y'all with me? 16,000, are y'all listening? Hours of indoctrination to the ways of the world. And I just had this testimony. I was in somebody's office a couple of weeks ago. And he used to teach. He doesn't teach anymore. His wife teaches, and I think she's about done. He says, you can say what you want to. And this guy knows Howard County. There's lots of teachers that identify as Christian, but only a few that are. You can't choose the world and do it God's way. Y'all listening, wives, husbands? Pablo, I wish we could round up every man in Howard County. I'd like to say this to every man in Howard County. You can't make being a wife and a mother and raising the kids and running the house a second job and not expect a worldly result. Let me say it again. You can't make being a wife, a mother, raising the kids, and running the house a second job and not expect anything except a worldly result. Listen, I'm begging you, ladies, you young ladies. We need mothers again raising the children to know and fear God. So I've asked this question many times this week, and I haven't got many answers. Where in the world do we start? I had another situation this week, and I don't know if it's resolved or not. I knew a young couple buying their first house. I know when I counseled them about getting married, I counseled them never to buy a house or a car that it would take two incomes to pay for. And they're expecting a baby. So, I don't know how that worked out. And I wish I'd get back 30 opinions. Really, I'd like to get 30 texts this week of your number one way that we change this scenario. Because I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm struggling. But I do know this. When Mama left the house during World War II to go to the factories and make ammunition, and she never came back home, we've been on a steady spiral downward ever since. Nobody's going to raise your kid like you will. Can y'all not hear me? Mom left the house in World War II and never came back home. And I look at our Latino brothers and sisters. So they come from Mexico or El Salvador, and they put their wives to work just like everybody else. You know why? Because they want everything everybody else has got. Now, I will tell you, God's Word, it's no longer an agrarian society. We're not all raising sheep or raising the garden and surviving. I realize that, right? But God's Word and God's way to do it is sufficient to operate and work and work well even in a technologically advanced world. Can't turn the family over to the world and not expect worldly results. You can't chase the dollar. You can't chase every ball. You can't provide every phone. You can't provide every car. You can't, listen, your husband can't have every side by side, the fanciest they make. You can't have the house like somebody that's been married that has lots of money. You can't do all of that and not expect to neglect the children. Because to have all that stuff, you've got to have two incomes. So if we have everything and chase everything that the world has, we're going to get the same results as the world. I told y'all to pray for me every week. This would have gone down a whole lot better if you'd have prayed for me this week. Matter of fact, I'd have done a whole lot better if you'd have prayed for me this week. Really, really, I'm challenging you to think, how do we change this scenario? Because I can tell you, it's not working. Look, I go to the jail every week. You know what the jail is full of? Mental health patients that have been on prescription drugs since they didn't get a whooping and since they went to school. Mental health patients. I look at Ian. Oh, Jimmy, is that rod and reel looking better all the time? That's what teachers are dealing with. Kids that have mental issues. So, what a novel idea to do marriage and family, huh? By the book. What should we be doing with our children? Training them up to know the Lord and to become one of His followers. If we really believe what we say we believe, that's our first purpose. To raise godly offspring. To serve in His local church as we advance His kingdom. In preparation for death and enjoying Him forever. So, how are we doing? I'm just afraid we're on that wheel. Huh? It just rolls over and we get on the next one. Or we roll our kids over and they get on the next one. So, I love the text. If not, what is one thing we will resolve to do to get closer to being there, raising godly offsprings in our home, than we are? Right now, what can we do in our upside down, messed up world and dysfunctional homes? What one thing we can do? So let me close with this. We're in a mess. What kind of mess are we in? 63 million innocent lives snuffed out before they ever draw a breath. Hooking up is just what we do. With whoever, whatever, however. Just experiment. Physically and chemically castrating young men before they look. You know why a 6-year-old don't make decisions? You know why a 6-year-old has a mom and daddy? Because they can't make good decisions when they're 6 years old or 10. But that's happening. Listen, this world is operating on lies. Hey, we may soon have a minister of truth. Are y'all with me? No, really, really. We have a new position. It's a minister of truth. This no longer is the truth, by the way, to the world. It is to us. But no longer will this be where we go to find the truth. From now on, some government-appointed person will determine what's true and what's not true. Y'all with me? I'm talking about in America. So, we cannot continue to have our heads in the sand. The ones raising our... Y'all with me? Now I want y'all to think about what I'm fixing to say. The ones raising our kids... Y'all know who that is? The ones raising our kids, are y'all ready for this? Are doing a terrible job. Hey, they can't even read, write, and do arithmetic on grade level. But they're being taught to question the way God made them. It's way past time for moms and dad. Are your moms looking at me right now? It's way past time for moms and dads to take back their God-given job, and that's to raise godly offspring. I pray that in some way God could use this for the advance of His kingdom and for His glory.